Oh, that was a very aerobic dance to start off caching in the Northwest. And welcome. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're trying to figure out why England started playing long ball, we'll be caching in the Northwest. At this point, we normally bring in one of our guests or hosts, and it's just me tonight. There's nobody else here. And you know what? There's times nobody else has to be here because we have such a great interview to play that I think it's going to make up for it. Quick reminder that we appreciate the support of all of our patrons who help this keep this podcast coming to you each and every week. If you want to know more about supporting the show, click on that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. Now, we're going to talk about augmented reality or AR caches this week with Nicole from Geocaching Headquarters. You'll find out more about AR. No, it's not a pirate cache. It's not R. That's spelled completely different. But this one is really good. But before we get into it, and I'm only going to tell you how good this interview is, a couple more times. But before we get into that, we want to talk about the glow. And I'm not talking about the healthy glow of my face. No, I am talking about the geocaching log of the week. Each and every week, we pick out a great geocaching log that helps us to reignite our passion for the sport, the hobby, the obsession of geocaching. And we get those glows from you listeners. So thank you so much for sending in your glow. Just send it in an email to feedback@cachingnw.com. You know what's even better is go to the website, click on that voicemail tool, and record the glow in your very own voice. Yes, in your own voice. You can do it. I know you can, because other people have, and perhaps that was even you. So thank you for that. Now, tonight we have a glow from Team Finn on GC7 Motel 8 X-Ray Beta. It's Moss Bush. Interesting. He starts off by saying, I saw this publish and thought the FTF would go immediately. But this morning, I saw it actually had not been found. We were going after some mysteries in the area anyway, so we made this our first stop. Why are there so many cars? Why are there so many people? Sherpa Bob dropped me off, and I made my way to Ground Zero. Oh no, an Easter egg hunt. Luckily, the event hadn't started yet, but me poking around in the bushes was a little bit suspicious. I found a very well-crafted cache and signed the blank log. Now, to replace it. I hid behind the bushes, and Sherpa Bob and I quickly and quietly rehid the cache. I popped up and possibly scared a family making their way to the hunt. Oops. We left quickly and headed onto our original mission. Thanks for the FTF. So always cool to have an FTF story and a good story nonetheless for the glow. So thank you, Team Finn, for that. We really do appreciate it. And yes, Starcasher says, welcome back to the great northwest of Ohio. And that's exactly where I am. I'm in just outside of Toledo, Ohio, in Maumee, Ohio. Great stories. I had a fun day of driving around. I call it driving around memory lane. I got to see some of the houses I grew up in. Fort Meigs, which I played a lot at as a child, and used to go sledding there. And that was one of the biggest hills around. Got to see my high school. Now, my high school actually, a few years ago, well, 2010, so 8 years ago, was destroyed by a tornado. Came through, did a lot of damage, and did significant damage to the high school. So much so that they just tore the whole thing down because they weren't sure what, you know, parts of the structure were safe to habitate anymore, or to work in. So, brand new high school. I got there, I walked in, went to the office, and the gal behind the desk said, "Oh yeah, just start walking around. It's okay." So, beautiful new facility. And, anyway, it didn't have a lot of, memory for me because, you know, I never went there, but it's always good to see the high school that you went to still going strong, and, go Flyers. Yeah. You know, okay. I've talked to you and I've teased you about the interview with Nicole from geocaching.com. Let's go ahead and jump into this. Nicole, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? First of all, what's your role at geocaching.com? How long have you been there?
I am the lead of the community volunteer support team at HQ, and we support all the volunteers worldwide. So that includes community volunteer reviewers, community volunteer translators, and then community volunteer forum moderators. And I've been at HQ for almost 3 years now.
That's awesome. That's 3 years is a great length of time there. Now, we're going to go out on a limb here. This is a geocaching-based podcast. You work at Geocaching HQ. I'm going to assume that you enjoy geocaching. And don't worry, your boss doesn't listen to this podcast, so if that's not true, that's okay. But I'm going to assume you do. Can you tell our listeners what you enjoy most about geocaching? Maybe what your favorite cache types are?
Sure. And hi, Brian. I enjoy discovering new places. That's how I first started geocaching. I was traveling, and I knew about the game, but hadn't really cached on my own. And I didn't own a smartphone. I didn't own a GPS, but I used the website and then drew in my little notebook. Like, I wrote down the hints. I wrote down what I saw in Google Street View. And then I went and discovered really, really cool places. And that is still my favorite part of geocaching. But for favorite caches specifically, I really like gadget caches.
I think I agree on both those points.
Yeah.
We share those interests. That's great.
Exactly. You know, geocaching has shown me parks right around my house that I didn't even know existed. I thought it was somebody's driveway, but that's a different story. Nicole, we have you here actually tonight to talk about AR, or augmented reality caches. In case our listeners haven't heard, can you explain to them what an AR cache is?
Sure. So to understand that, you need to understand what augmented reality is, and it's a bit tricky because there's different kinds. But basically, augmented reality is a technology that allows you to add something to the view of the real world. So if you look at the real world through the lens of your smartphone's camera, you can add an augmented reality overlay, an image, or some information over this view of the reality. And an AR cache is a mystery cache that requires the finder to use an AR app to get to the cache container or the logbook, or both, ideally.
All right. That sounds like a great logical progression of integrating technology into caching. I'm excited to hear more about them. How did HQ come up with the idea to have them as part of our geocaching game hobby?
So geocachers and reviewers have mentioned augmented reality to us from time to time over the last couple of years. So the idea of adding something, some new element to the game has been around for a while. And then around 6-7 months ago, we started thinking about how could we add this new element to the game within the current guidelines. And we realized that that's not really possible because it requires the download of a proprietary app, which is not allowed. So from that, we spun off this idea to do a test run with guideline exceptions. And we wanted to see how the geocaching community would react to caches that include augmented reality and what cool ideas cache owners would come up with.
So Geocaching HQ listens to the geocachers and take suggestions.
All the time.
That's true.
Well, we know that, but it's good to hear and let other people know that, you know what, your voice is being heard at Geocaching HQ.
Definitely.
Now, so you said Geocaching HQ is experimenting with these. How long are these AR caches going to be around for?
So the test period is set for 3 months. And at the end of these 3 months, we'll evaluate the experiment. And at that point, we'll decide what we'll do with the published AR caches. And on the table is anything from being grandfathered in and staying in the game to being archived.
Okay, so the future is wide open for the possibilities of AR geocaching. That's really cool. Now, you say you're doing this for a short-term experiment. You're looking for feedback, then, from the geocaching community. What kind of feedback are you looking for? Should everybody go out to their local drugstore with a petition and get signatures?
I wouldn't want them to waste their time like that. Okay. But, every AR cache is required to have little blurb on the cache page that includes a link to a survey, which we will review at the end of the 3 months. And this is part of the feedback that, or part of the active feedback we are seeking. And then we will also evaluate things like overall favorite points, percentage of favorite points, how many times has it been found, what do the log texts say, and other stats from the cache pages.
Interesting. Nicole, I'm not sure if you know that some geocachers are very particular about their stats. You probably haven't heard that one before, right?
No. Wait, what is that?
Yeah. Now, is the AR caches a regular cache find? And even if they're grandfathered or archived, that cache find's going to stay around in your stats?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So okay. Right now, any AR cache has to be a mystery cache. That is kind of the confine of this experiment. And apart from having AR as part of the cache hunt, it's treated just like any other mystery cache.
Okay.
As archived, it will stay around in the statistics.
So you just talked about feedback, and in each cache listing, there's a survey to get the finders to give their feedback. Will that feedback influence the possibility of the AR caches sticking around?
It's definitely one of the factors, yeah. But we will also look at other things, so it's not the sole factor.
All right, so we are often very privileged here at Caching the Northwest, being right here in the Northwest and in Geocaching HQ's kind of neighborhood backyard, so to speak. We sometimes get some little insider tips and sneak peeks of things. Can you give us any teasers? What kind of ideas have you seen so far with AR caches?
So any of the published AR caches you can find by searching for AR _ and the cache name on geocaching.com when you filter for caches. Some AR caches, the finder has to find the, some information in the field and then type in the answer in an AR app. There's a fun one in Australia, actually, where you have to interact with animals that are overlays on the screen, and then they give you items, and you have to pick them up and give them to other animals so that you get final coordinates in the end. There's another AR cache that is set up more like a traditional cache, where the AR app will only open the experience at the location and show you the code to the lock. So you find the container at the posted coordinates, but to open it, you need to use an AR app.
Okay, interesting.
And in general, we've seen a lot of different media being used in AR caches, from these like overlay images to videos to sound. And even 360 view, where you can hold your camera up and move it around all around you to see like the bottom of the ocean or the plaza at the Louvre in Paris.
Oh, that is really cool. Witsend, are you up for a trip to Australia just to look at the AR cache?
Sure, yeah, no problem at all.
Okay.
Maybe our viewers would like to start contributing to a fund to send me there.
Yeah.
I have a hunch they might only buy me a one-way ticket,
though. I guarantee you it's going to be a one-way ticket, yeah. And it's a long swim back. Oh, Australia. We love Australia. What are some of the ways, Nicole, you are collecting and accepting feedback on the AR caches from geocachers?
So that's mostly through the survey that is on the cache page. As I said, every cache page has to have a text in the description, and this text can be found in the Help Center article about AR caches, and there you'll also find the link. And so some of the questions in the survey is about how was your experience? Would you recommend it? What was the GC code of the one you found? And then an open question where we get general feedback.
Well, I'm excited to go out and play with some AR caches.
To place them?
Oh, well, play with them, place them. I have to see what's involved with placing them, but yeah, I'd like to do that.
Yeah, there's one published in kind of close to HQ, and I've already solved it and got the coordinates, but I have to get out and find it. It is a little drive away from here.
Okay. Now, you mentioned specific AR apps. Can you tell us anything about the specific smartphone apps? Are they any other kind of apps? Could you use it on a tablet or an iPad or something, or iOS, Android, all of the above?
So the requirements for an allowed app are in the Help Center, and it has to be available on both Android and iOS. So they're probably also, at least some of them must also be available on iPad, but I'm not very sure about this. So it's we're mostly looking at Android and iOS.
Okay.
And then it has to be free to download and create an account. And it has to allow the user to upload their own AR overlays so that it's not just a selected overlay that you choose from, but you can add your own content. And it has to allow location-based AR experiences. So some of the published AR caches that we've seen can be played anywhere. It's like a where I go that you can play anywhere, and then you go to get the cache, and that's the one that's near HQ that is set up like that. But then other AR experiences are location-based, which means that either you have to go to the location to answer the question, so you can open the questions from anywhere, but you can only answer them at the location, or the AR app itself limits the experience to be only near the coordinates that are provided.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense. So we only have 3 months to hide and find all these AR caches. We better get out there and go start looking for them.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually going to Australia. I really want to see that one with the animals.
Well, let us know. We'll go along with you.
It's November. There's a mega.
Oh, well, that gives you a good reason to go there, doesn't it?
Oh.
Nice. Are you going as an official lackey, or is this a personal trip?
A little bit of both. Okay. I'm taking my husband. We've both never been to Australia, but at the event, I will wear my lackey t-shirt, so I will be recognizable and available for chats.
Nice.
Awesome.
Nicole, thank you so much for spending your evening with us. We really appreciate it. Thank you for talking about AR caches. We're excited for these augmented reality caches, and we've got to go out and get some.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This was really fun. I'm also super excited, and I'm really excited to see what future AR cache owners are going to come up with. I've heard of really creative ideas that are in the works, so hopefully we'll see more and more of those.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There you have it. Nicole from Geocaching HQ talking about AR caches. Folks, we have less than 3 months now to go out and find these, or let's be creative and place one ourselves. How cool would that be, right? Nice. As you could see, if you were watching live or, you know, if you're watching recorded, if you're listening, I'll tell you what I did. While we were listening to Nicole, I went ahead and did the search for AR underscore on geocaching.com. And currently there are 273 active AR caches in the world. That's not that many. There's two in Washington State. Two. One near HQ, the other one in Pullman. There's several in Oregon, and then all over the world. Yeah. So get out and get the opportunity to find one of these. Now, it's going to count as a mystery cache on your stats because, you know, there are some geocachers that are really concerned about their stats, right? They don't want to go out and find a cache and have their stats have an increase one find count and find out later, oh, no, that got taken away. Geocaching HQ is not going to do that. This is going to be a permanent find, which, you know, it's really important for people to do that. I mean, they make entire trips, like, you know, land monkeys that go to a different state, province, or country every 1,000 caches. And if you take one of those caches away, it ruins their whole trip, and they may as well not go. You know they're still going to go. It doesn't matter if they go to get a cache for a milestone or not. They're still going to do it. And then, you know, you've got people like Three Hams that's going to go find 1,000 caches in a month just because they can. I know about you, Three Hams. Okay. I, you know, all I have to say is that's an incredible milestone, 1,000 caches in a month. Good for you. Folks in the chat, if you have anything to say about AR caches, we know Team Finn happened to be the FTF on the virtual or the AR cache that's closest HQ. Well, you know, the only one in Western Washington. So that was cool. So they're in the chat and they were, you know, of course, very coy about it. Anybody else in the chat find an AR cache, perhaps the one closest to us or, you know, anywhere else you happen to be traveling? I'm, you know, I'm out and about driving, but I'm not near anything. I wish I was near one of the AR caches. I would definitely go out of my way to get that. But that's not the case this week. Let's see. Brylang says, Three Hams and I got 15 FTFs in one day, several days after they were published, even. Impressive. You know, was that happen to be like on a trail or a power caching trail, something like that, where, you know, you put a bunch of them out and, yeah, it's pretty easy to go out and get, well, it's never easy to go out and get an FTF. I don't want that to be misinterpreted. But you can go out and roll and get multiple FTFs in a day. If, you know, there's a lot to get, you know, like a series, or like you say, a power trail, something to that extent. Oh, Team Finn says the Fairwood AR cache is solvable without physically visiting Ground Zero. Now, Nicole said the same thing. There are several caches that are, how do I want to put this? I almost want to use the term locationless, meaning that you can play the AR bit of the geocache and get the solution to it without visiting the site. There are several set up like that. There are some that are location based. And that means you have to be at Ground Zero or whatever waypoint in order for the AR portion, the augmented reality portion of that geocache to work properly. So a play anywhere. Thank you, Bryling. A play anywhere augmented reality cache. Much like a play anywhere where I go. Same type of ideas. One play anywhere one, according to Team Finn, is GC7. Oh, it moved on me. 7R97Y. So you can go ahead and get a little practice on your AR skills. You're going to need a smartphone for it. Maybe you can do it on a PC. I haven't tried. But you're going to need a smartphone download. I shouldn't have started this. I don't know what the two programs are anymore. I want to come up with Metaverse, but I don't think that's it. One is HP Reveal, and the other one is something I can't come up with at the moment. And there's actually three possibilities for the apps. If you go to one of the websites or one of the cache listings, it's going to tell you what you need to do. It's going to give you the download links for iOS and Android and go right ahead. So Metaverse is correct. Okay. Thank you, GSM times two. You know, it popped in my head, but it didn't sound right coming out of my mouth. Let's see. GSM times two says, I think the location-based ones would be better if they make them permanent. To which Bryling replies, the whole AR thing is an experiment. No guarantees they'll stick around. The technology to do them is still evolving. And, you know, that's my whole concern with AR. I love the idea of it, but I would like to go and create the AR portion of the cache and find out, oh, the app got updated and what I created no longer works with it. You have to go update it. You know, that's going to make it frustrating for somebody going out and trying to find your cache and say, oh, maybe I don't have the right version of the app, or I've got to download the new one in order to make it to work. So, you know, lots of different things, but I like that they're using this to push the boundaries, right? Let's get into a new area. Let's give it a test go for a couple of months and see what happens. What's the most that can happen? You go out and find some more caches? That's okay. That's okay. In the after show, I want to talk a little bit about how you guys are doing in your hidden creatures push for this summer. And that will be interesting to see where some of you are. I mean, I know some of you have to be done already, and others maybe haven't started yet. But we are more than halfway through the hidden creatures promotion for the summer. So it'll be interesting. We'll talk about that again in the after show. But folks, we want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, WiMAX, and WorldCaching.com. If you want to know more about supporting the show, click that Patreon link over there on the CachingNW.com website. But each and every week, we want to thank every one of our supporters. And we're going to start with B-Pendragon, Broncos Fans for Life, Sprouter, Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kevmac D, Subway, Mark Dorr, Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, GeoNav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acrodoc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, G-Nice, Antaeus, Keats 94, Curiosity Girl, and Trexer Zero. Thank you, each and every one of you. You guys are really special, and we can't tell you how much we thank you for your support each month. Now, if you're looking more for Caching NW, Caching in the Northwest, you go, this is new to me. This is the first podcast I've listened to. Where am I going to find more? Head on over to CachingNW.com. You can also find out more on CachingNW on Facebook or Twitter. I tend to be in those two places. We want to take the time to say thank you for listening to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. You can call 253-693-TFTC, leave us a comment, question, or help us understand soccer any time of the day or night. Of course, you can always email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Your support helps keep quality shows coming. So if you like this show, click on the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. The show is produced by Chris Umfenauer and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Jim, Jay, and Chris. The show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018 by Chris Umfenauer. And we ask you to stay tuned for, this is going to be disappointing, the after show. Sorry, I didn't have the audio loaded. I know. After show. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How quick will it load?
The after show!
Did it do it?
The after show!
There you go. Oh, that feels so much better to hear that. Sorry, I am. You caught me. That was more than one breath. You're right. That was because I'm working on a laptop screen and I had to scroll and it took longer than it normally does. And I think I took an extra breath. What, you guys don't think I can understand soccer? Or does anybody not anybody else not understand soccer? No. That's completely different. Anyone else going to the party like it's 1699 and the battle sale? Ask I am. Oh, I am. Parlay like it's 1699. Somebody want to pop up the GC for that one? Was the after show that loud? The audio? Sorry about that. I didn't pre-listen to it and turn it down and make it right. Sorry. I'm not in my normal studio. And things go a little wonky if I don't set everything up. What was I talking about? I'm sure it was really important and great, and it was $16.99. That's going to be a great event. That's the day before the 8th cache, so Saturday the 16th, I believe. Thanks, Team Finn. Yes, you do win. You win the chat for the night. That's GC7HB46. That's 7 Hotel Bravo 46. Guys, you're not going to want to miss the battle sale. The event is going to be great. But going out on Lady Washington or the Hawaiian Chieftain and actually doing a battle sale where they fire off the cannons, once you hear those cannons echoing across the water and back, it's something that is unbelievable. I did it a few years ago. I'm excited to be able to go back again this year. I'm taking my dad with me just because it's a chance of a lifetime. Now, if you're still thinking about it and you're going, boy, the tickets are $40. That seems a little pricey. Let me tell you, the normal price for the battle sale, if you go, they don't do it just at this event. It's up and down the West Coast all summer long. If you do it anywhere else, it could be $50 to $65. So you're really getting quite a good deal during the parlay like it's $16.99 event. So if you're thinking about doing it, now's the time. Go get those tickets. There's still a few tickets left on multiple times and the two ships. The two ships go out together. I want to say it's 9 o'clock, noon, 3, and 6 are the sailings. And like I said, both ships go out together and they shoot at each other. Okay, they pretend to shoot at each other, but the gunpowder in those cannons are real, and it's real loud. Saturday the 18th. Sorry, I misspoke. Saturday the 18th. Let's see. I've suddenly just a name just popped out of my head that or should have popped in. Seebeck Tribe. That's what it says. I'm in Phoenix. I'm heading to the Quilcene area to grab all or many of the 100 BJ series over there. GSM times two says, if they ask you to help man the sails, make sure you do it. You know, last time I was on the boat, volunteers, even the captain is a volunteer. This is what they enjoy doing. This is what they sign up to do. And they sign in at a port and, you know, ride the ship to, you know, wherever they're going. to get off for a couple hours, get back on again, and sail on to the next destination. And, you know, it's just how much ever time you can donate and volunteer is what you get, you know, and then you have to get back home somehow, fly back home or what have you. But they really know their stuff. And some of them are just, you know, scurrying up the mast and the rigging. It's impressive to watch. The battle is awesome to do, says Seabeck Tribe. And GSM Times 2 says, you can tell if they hit each other by the echo. Can you really? I'm sure you can. If you're in the right spot. I'm not a dolphin. I don't know how to echolocate that well. Subway Mark says, I was in Spokane last week for the STAR, the Spokane Train and Railroads Challenge, and earned the coin. Also finished the Hidden Creatures Challenge. Great. I forgot that was the event. There's no mega events going on during this Hidden Creatures. And there aren't many other events during this time. I think HQ chose this section of time specifically for that. So good. I wasn't able to make it to the STAR, the Spokane Trail. I'm sorry, Train and Railroads. I heard there were four lines, each a different color, that you go out and do the caches on. I thought that was a great idea. Seabeck Tribe says, Scott even got another ship last time. And he did it a couple of years ago because the other boats were sold out. That's right. If the two boats, the Lady Washington and the Hawaiian Chieftain, sell out, they can bring in a third boat, tall ship, battle sail, and all three ships will go out together at the same time. Right now, I believe there are only two tall ships scheduled. Again, it's all a matter of demand. If these ships sell out, they'll bring in the third ship to allow more people to go out during this day. And, you know, folks, it's a great deal. Really, if you have a chance, consider doing it. It's one of the things that I have really enjoyed in all my years of geocaching. And it's not really even geocaching. It's a boat. And no, you can't geocache from the boat. But I wonder if there's an earth cache you can do from one of the tall ships. We'll have to look at that. Oh, I'm hearing there are three boats this year. Okay. I don't remember seeing that when I signed up. Subway Mark's talking about STAR, the Spokane Rails and Trains. And it says there's four lines. Had to get 9 of the green line, 9 of one of the other lines, and then 10 other caches on any lines. I completed the green line and the red and picked up a few of the lilac and black lines. It was well done and a great coin. Now, it's not an official Geo Tour. It's a Geo Coin Challenge. I was thinking, well, if you don't get them all, you don't get the electronic souvenir. That's only for the official Geo Tours. And Seabeck Tribe says, no, there's not an earth cache that she's aware of. Well, let's get one out there quickly so we can do an earth cache from the boat just to compete with Land Monkey because, you know, he was able to do one from a hot tub on a cruise ship. And I kind of want to be able to do one on a boat, too. So it's all about me. Really, it is. I mean, I'm not going to hide the fact. It's all about me. Ryling wants to know who's finished Hidden Creatures. And apparently he has. And now I'm talking to myself. Well, get in line because I'm talking to myself too, Brian. Okay. We'll have to work hard to get the Earth cache out there in time for the battle sale. Okay, so GSM times two says, if ye be by sea and be hardy souled, then come ready to be battle tested. There'll be at least three ships fighting this day, the Lady Washington, the Hawaiian Chieftain, and the Sea Rogue. So, there you go. That was my best pirate imitation. Hold on, while I wash down the pirate imitation so I can get back to my normal voice. Oh, that was fun. I enjoy pirates. Let's see. Dormore got the world turtle. That's a hard word. Those two words together are hard for me to say. It's hard for me to go from world to turtle quickly. Last weekend, and I'm going out tomorrow with some other friends to help them get theirs. Looking forward to Subway Marks, and I'm looking forward to Cash Dash Splash in September for another railroad challenge. You know, Subway Marks likes his railroads. I'm really hoping to get to Cash Dash Splash this year. GSM times two has not finished Hidden Creatures yet. He's about 38 points to go. Three Hams still needs 10. And Bounce Bounce hasn't even started yet. So Bounce Bounce, there's still plenty of time. You know, you could go do the Spokane Star Tour, Star Challenge there, and get, 40 some odd caches in a day? Yeah, that is going to put you, well, exactly 40% of the way there. I did that math in my head. I'm so proud. Let's see. IHAM is at Dragon. Wonder why he would only have stopped at Dragon. Starcasher says, I got the turtle Monday afternoon. I hope we're talking about hidden creatures and there's not some other hidden meaning there. No, I'm just joking with you. Three Hams is annoying how I got 538 caches the week before Hidden Creatures began. Yeah, that's really annoying to get 500 caches in a week. I'm really sorry. Three Hams, you're not getting any pity from me for getting 538 caches in a week. Subway Mark has the world turtle. And, yeah, Dora Morse's timing is everything. Really is. You know, go out and get the caches. If there's some promotion going out, great. If not, go out, go cash in anyway. What does it matter? That's what I say. And I'm sticking to it. Hey, folks. Thanks for sticking around with me. I really appreciate it. Now, next week, I don't know what we're talking about next week. I'll find out a little later. That's because we didn't have a Caching in the Northwest business meeting before this podcast as we normally do and hash out things that are going on. But I say, until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.